This is Brashard Smith, and you're listening to Watch the Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, we're back home from the draft house with our good friends from Player Profiler. Hope you guys enjoyed the pick-by-pick coverage of all seven rounds. I'm sure that if you watch that, you have a lot of our ideas about the takes that we had. But if you're just kind of getting back into things here and you got your rookie drafts kicking off and kind of haven't heard what we've said, man, like we got a lot to get to as far as, you know, the fallout of the actual NFL draft here on the podcast. Cody, I thought the way we could do it is I've started out doing some rookie mock drafts. We do have version 1.0 and version 1.1 uploaded yesterday to the site of the Roster Watch Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheets. Version 1.0 for Superflex, tight end premium, and then also for traditional one quarterback leagues are up. And as I'm starting to do rookie drafts, I'm realizing I think it's good. I think that as we were constructing this thing during the draft and then on day three, kind of just trying to figure out what makes sense and where we would take guys, I think it's good. But I'm looking across consensus. I'm looking across X, with people's takes flying all over the place. And then, you know, just – over on Fantasy Pros, it's like if you look at the expert consensus, there's stuff that people just have different than we have. And I want to make sure that we're leveraging ADP at all times, even if we're still going to want to kind of reach and maybe get some of our guys. I don't know, man. How do you feel about everything? You feel good to be home? Did you gain about 7 pounds eating all of Billy's food?
Dude, I actually brought home some of that leftover chili, and I had chili again last night. I had some chili dogs. So I was also sent home with like 100, 200 pounds worth of food and 250 beers. So I'm going to be eating good and drinking good for the next, I don't know, 2 months.
You might not be losing any of that weight we put
I'm
on.
Not, yeah, I mean, I'm, I got to get back out on this greenway and start running again. But I made it home, little car ride, almost fell asleep in the car, but we made it home and unpacked, set up, and we're back in these boxes, Alex. We're back in the boxes talking about these rookies. And, you know, the cheat sheets went live on Roster Watch, you know, late last night, early this morning. And my first thought was, man, we've been talking about this like 108, you know, 112 area. If you can get out of the first round. And when I was looking at the cheat sheet, I was thinking, man, if you got that 108 and you got that 112, I want to get out of the first round even more than what we've even talked about the last 2 months.
There's so much to get to. So I think that what we should do is, like I said, I'm only right now I'm drafting in, I'm drafting in three dynasty rookie drafts right now. And in doing them, it's just, it isn't enough volume to start getting the idea of ADPs. These rookie drafts I'm in are with, you know, expert rookie drafts, I guess you would call it, man. It's all people that create content and do all this stuff. And so they're going to have their own ideas. They're going to, you know, they're going to have their guys. And, you know, I don't feel like it's the best sample. Of course, we're going to continue doing sims with the new ADP data that comes in. I think it's interesting looking at the Fantasy Pro stuff because they have at least like 30 people factored into that. And we know that people are going to use those rankings. I figure let's go through two rounds of a super flex tight end premium mock here. And this is as if we're on the board at each pick and we're forced to take the pick, what we would do when we're actually forced to have to come to a decision. And I think that can help me with taking some notes to inform what I need to do to make sure that we're leveraging ADP for each one of these picks and not reaching too far, but still able to get our guys.
All right, let's do it. You want to start this thing off at the 101?
Yeah. All right. So 101, we have Ashton Jeanty going to the Raiders. That's going to stay as the 101. I don't think anybody's going to have any issues with that.
Pretty clear cut. All right. Ashton Jeanty, 102. I love Omarion Hampton. We've always loved Omarion Hampton, but I've had like a little bit of a realization that happens when you're driving in a car for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours. And I had one yesterday of just sitting there and thinking about missing out on Travis Hunter. And what I've said is, in this class, I view all these receivers as like twos. They're all twos. And I think Tedrone McMillan's in a spot where he's going to garner upwards of potentially 150, 160, 170 targets this year. And we'll talk about that for the next 6 months leading up to the season. But if I'm going to be mad at myself for missing on one player and passing on a player, it's going to be Travis Hunter, passing on a Travis Hunter. And I don't want to be the guy passing on Travis Hunter. So I'm going to take Travis Hunter here at the 102.
Yeah. You just freaked me out by saying it's 6 months until the season. It's really more like 3 months until yeah, like start that, getting preseason games.
You're right. In 6 months, it'll be like Halloween. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I was like, 6 months, we have to do this every day for 6 months, talking about a season that's yet to come. All right. So with the cheat sheet, what it has right now is we're in line, at least for now, with the cheat sheet. It would allow you right now to either take Omarion Hampton or Cam Ward in Superflex. I think that that's probably right. I think for me, I hate being quarterback poor in Superflex. I'm going to go Cam Ward. I'm going to go with the quarterback here. So, Cam Ward, first overall pick in the actual NFL draft to the Tennessee Titans. It'll be the third overall pick here in this Superflex rookie draft.
Warren Moon gave him number one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
Pretty important. Interesting. You know, I think you could tell yourself a story about these quarterbacks, and I'll be interested to see where Shook and Dart go in this mock right here, but I'm not going that direction. I'm going to go Travion Henderson here at the 104.
So you're taking Travion over Omarion Hampton?
I'm taking Travion over Omarion Hampton because this is – Henderson is the best pass protector in the draft. He was the best pass catcher in the draft. He's the dynamo at the running back position. I love Omarion Hampton. They did pay Najee. He's going to be splitting the carries with Najee this year unless Najee goes down. And we're not going to get the full-blown Omarion Hampton experience unless an injury happens until the earliest next year and potentially it not be till the following year, depending on how long Najee is on this roster. We've seen guys have resurgences like Joe Mixon and J.K. Dobbins this last year. So I love Omarion. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have him, but I'm going to go with something that we've experienced recently, and that's the Christian McCaffrey, the Jahmyr Gibbs body type ability. And I think Travion Henderson in that New England offense with Ramondre being the battering ram, the David Montgomery, between the tackle grinder, it's going to allow Travion to not have to handle the ball 25 times, but handle it 12 to 18 times a game and get elite high-end output out of that. So I'm going to go Travion here, 104.
I don't think we can do that on the sheet.
Why?
Even just because that would mean that we're completely out on Omarion Hampton.
Is he the consensus? I mean, right. I mean, the consensus is early right now. It's April 28th, right? It's not
right. So, like his average right now, early consensus is pick 3.9 according to Fantasy Pros, whereas Travion's is 8.1.
Really?
Yeah.
So so I haven't looked at any of these ADPs. So you're saying Quinshon is probably ahead of Travion?
Nope. No, he's Quinshon's
not ahead of Travion.
No. Travion, well, even though his average ranking, among Fantasy Pros rankers is 8.1, but as far as where he would go right now with that average ranking would be player six. So you're talking about player three versus player six.
Genty, Hampton, was it Tet, Cam?
Yep.
Who else?
Genty, Cam, Hampton, Hunter, Tet, Travion.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I definitely don't want to be swindled on Hampton, but
I think in order to get both, we got to keep it like it is right now. I want both those guys. And the thing is, we don't have Tet in the mix here. So we're going to get more of both of these guys if we have both of them ahead of Tet. And we're going to need to have the discussion about when Ted does come into the picture, because to be completely honest, I think I'm taking three more running backs before I'm interested in considering Ted McMillan.
You're taking Amari Hampton here, aren't you?
Yes. I'm taking Omarion Hampton with the next pick. Yeah.
Okay. You would have taken him ahead of Travion because that's what we have on the sheet right now, right?
I think you put a gun to my head. I think I'm taking Omarion Hampton. I had him ranked higher the whole time. I love the situation for Travion. I don't love the situation as much for Omarion Hampton.
I just don't want to miss. I mean, I just think we're missing out on potentially like.
We're gonna get a lot of Travion Henderson as long as we don't put Ted McMillan into the mix here.
And like, think about this from a dynasty perspective. In that, if Travion is in the like, I know this is we're thinking. I'm thinking like high end here, but if he's in a Jahmyr Gibbs role and he gets 12 to 18 touches a game, and he's averaging, you know, 16, 18, 20 fantasy points a game, that dynasty value is going to shoot up directly to top five dynasty running back overall. Top four, right? He's going to be right up there next to Jenty and Jahmyr Gibbs and stuff. He will. It's just facts.
And there's not really a way for Omarion to get there this year without an injury. I mean, bingo. That makes sense.
Bingo.
It's really hard.
It's a great class.
I think for now, it's tough to break ADP because I don't want to be all the way out on Omarion Hampton and Dynasty.
Exactly.
Feels like being like all the way out on like a Jonathan Taylor or something.
Well, we don't want to do that.
So I think for now we leave it how it is. And if these ADPs start getting different and they start converging to where we can make that flip without it making us be completely out on one or the other, then I think it's fine because I want people to have both of these guys.
All right, 106. I think this is interesting because, like I just told you how I feel about Tet and his targets this year, he'll be the number one in Carolina. But you look at the Caleb Johnson rule, even though it's third-round draft capital, he should be plugged right into Najee's rule. And if he stays healthy, he'll feast. He'll have 1,200 yards rushing. And Quinshon, I think without Caleb Johnson, would be a universal take right here. And potentially, I could tell you a story like I just did about Travion. I could tell you the same story about Quinshon if he was not sharing a backfield with a Dylan Sampson.
Well, so how much do we factor in that Dylan Sampson thing with the Quinshon? Because
– well, you have to. He's literally the leading rusher in the SEC. Like, this is kind of a nightmare.
No, I don't think it's a night. They went to Cleveland, where it's a. I mean, everybody's joining a committee. It's just that this committee is going to be two rookies.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody joins some kind of committee.
Well, no.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, yeah, but you. I mean, Travion Henderson. You wouldn't say Travion Henderson. Ramondre is like. I'm not. The most worried about Ramondre. Like, he's a grinder, but I know I'm going to get the high value touches.
I'm not either.
Huh?
I'm not worried about Ramondre either. I think he stinks.
But I'm worried about Dylan Sampson because we both know he's good. And he's in the same rookie class. And yes, the draft capital was like, what, a round difference or two rounds difference? Two rounds difference.
Two.
But he's the yin and the yang. It's I don't think it's quite similar to Quinshon and Travion this past year at Ohio State, but it's kind of similar. And they both have the ability to do the same exact thing.
Okay. So, but then the question is, you want Caleb Johnson more than you want? I mean, it's not like do you worry more about Dylan Sampson than you worry about Jaylen Warren?
No. I think that, and this is the thing is, you know, even though Tomlin came out like a week ago and was like, you know, Jaylen Warren's RB1. Yeah, he was RB1 at the exact time that he was talking. So he was never lying. And we know one thing about Mike T is like, dude, this 225-pound running back is going to show up. And there's no way in hell he's going to just be like, yo, Jaylen Warren, you're getting 20 carries a game. No, that's going to be Caleb. He's going to literally be the Najee Harris role unless they think he sucks. And this offensive line's only getting better and better and better.
And he doesn't, right?
Exactly.
I mean, Pittsburgh's a very heavy outside zone team. It's like Caleb's a sick outside zone runner.
So, like, I love the athlete. I love everything about Quinshon. That offensive line, though, is like, you know, it's getting hairy as it ages. And Dylan Sampson's there. And if we're being quite frank, that offense really is not scary from a passing perspective at all. So everybody knows they're going to run the football. It's like, I just, you know.
Does RJ Harvey not come into the conversation here either? Because he's going to be in the bucket, I think, with Quinshon, Caleb, and RJ Harvey. Now that RJ Harvey goes to Denver and gets the absolute nuts landing spot with Sean Payton.
I think he does. I saw a very scary tweet yesterday from a historical perspective for 23-year-old running backs drafted in the second round in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Kenny Irons, Daniel Thomas, Brian Leonard, Carlos Hyde, Montario Hardesty, Toby Gerhart, RJ Harvey.
So we're not happy he has second round draft capital now.
For that stat, I wish he would have filled the third. No, I think RJ Harvey is going to be great. I thought Sean Payton had all, you know, glowing things to say about him in that post draft press conference. So
he just said in that thing, he's like, at a certain point, we just realized that we weren't going to get Ashton Jeanty. So we're just like, why do we even keep watching tape on him? You know, and so that's when we turned our attention to, you know, RJ Harvey. They were glad to get him. They really wanted him, right? Yeah. Like, they really wanted him. That's why people saw it as a reach. We're like, man, that's not a reach. That's why if you've been listening to us and looking at our rookie rankings and making your plans, like, we've kept on talking about it. It's like, we hate taking RJ Harvey the 201 because it feels like you can take him at the 2-3 turn, or at just not at the but they're late round two, early round three. We're like, but it's like, that's, if you've watched the shows or listened on the podcast, you know, it's what we've done consistently. So
I just can't use a tie of draft capital on him. That's the thing. I just can't do that.
So does Tet come into the conversation here?
Yeah, I'm taking Tet right here.
Okay.
I said all this about Quinshon and Caleb, just so I could say that I'm taking Tet right here. I can't ignore the targets. Listen, we've talked about Teddarrell McMillan on here. I'm not the biggest fan of Teddarrell McMillan, but he got top 10 draft capital, even though I didn't think he deserved it. And he's going to go down to Carolina. And as long as his head is screwed on and he's there to play football, I think Bryce Young is going to absolutely feed him. And I think the minute he walks into Charlotte, he's the best receiver on the roster and the best receiving option on the roster, and maybe the best talent on the offense. So it's going to go through him. I'm not sure I'll be able to, you know, I think Byron asked me the question. We're standing poolside at the house when he came, and he's like, "Man, which one of these rookies really gets you going? You know, really tightens your pants the most?" And I said, "Like, the one that I can't get out of my mind is this Teddarrell McMillan situation, and the fact that he's literally just going to get annihilated with targets." And it was last year, you can't leave a draft without Malik Nabers. Like, I'll be interested to see where he ends up when we get to.
I can't believe you've gone from being a kind of a doubter of Ted McMillan to saying you can't leave a draft without him.
That's where I'm kind of getting.
Gosh, I hope his ADP.
Again, like I said, we're 3 months away from that conversation.
Yeah, no, we're less than that, because we're gonna have to start putting together the underdog best ball sheet and just start doing the redraft sheet probably in the middle of June. It's like we're a month and a half out.
Just let me live my life without Ted McMillan at the forefront for like another month. Don't talk about it.
Gosh. Okay. So I'm still taking Quinshon Judkins over Caleb Johnson. I just am. I love the Dylan Sampson thing? No. But is Quinshon, We've done all the work on him. What it's like, all the thousand yard seasons, the 40 that was so much faster than anybody thought it was. He's going to be the alpha. The offense is going to have to run they're going to have to run through the running game.
Yep.
They're having to rebuild right now. They're just the shakiest of all shaky quarterback situations. They have five guys now on the roster. I don't even know who's going to be the start. There's probably going to be three of them that start throughout the course of the year. You'll have some Flacco, some Pickett, and then probably somebody between Gabriel and Shadur is going to end up having to play too.
I'm going to take Caleb then. I think that's a tear break for me.
Okay, so Ted McMillan gets moved up. I think it's fine. Now in tight end premium, I want to take R.J. Harvey here, but should there be a discussion between R.J. Harvey and Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren and stuff here in tight end premium? I kind of think there has to be, and I think that that could be a little bit lower.
Should Dart, it's Superflex. Should Dart be in that conversation as well?
So in Superflex, actually, Dart is on the Fantasy Pros, their ECR, he's going off at 7, but there's no way. Zero.
He has to be there.
What?
He has to be in that conversation.
No. He's
with the level of tier break. Like I said, I think this is a tier breaker after.
When's he going to start?
What do you mean, when's he going to start?
When's his first start?
How is the season going? It all depends on how the season goes. Because this is their guy. This is Daboll's guy. Everything we've learned here is that this is Daboll's guy, and Shane pulled the right strings.
Joe Shane and Daboll are going to get fired if the season goes sideways enough to have to put in Jackson Dart early.
Yeah, I don't think if this – so my feel right now is that Russ is a starter, and – if Russ loses the job during the season, it'll go to Dart because they're not doing good. The only way Jameis is anything
and then the whole staff gets fired during
training camp.
And then the whole staff gets fired and the new organization comes in and Dart's not their guy.
Wait, what?
And then everybody gets fired.
They're not getting fired.
You think that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are completely insulated from getting fired if the season goes haywire?
Well, it would have to be severe. Like, it would have to be a 4-13. In this division, I think that they're good enough. I think they're good enough to win 7, 8, 9 games. And their defense is good enough that it can, you know, give them another plus one onto that. They could be in the running for a wild card, depending on the
same. It's the same division with a team that just went to the Final Four and then another one that just won the Super Bowl.
Correct. So it's like, I think the Mariners understand it's not going to be like the easiest thing in the world. And I think they also see Arch is not 1 year away.
Dude, there's no way you could take Jackson Dart here.
I don't understand why not. It's super flex.
I know. And I'm the one that says
to neighbors.
Why not?
It's not like he's going to Cleveland where he's got no weapons or he's got like, oh, Jerry Jeudy. Like if the Browns took him at 233,
would you take Jackson Dart and Superflex tight end premium over either of the tight ends?
In premium, no.
Okay, well, so you're going to take him over R.J. Harvey and like Egbuka and Matthew Golden and stuff?
I want to have an option. I would personally want to have an option. This is where my brain goes directly between Harvey and Golden and Dart and Loveland. I would love that. Because I think this is a clear tier break after our top 8. And then right here, it's, you know, I don't think it's quite a level playing field, but in super flex, you have to have
a decision between Harvey, Golden, Dart, and Loveland.
Yes.
Does Golden belong in that conversation? Does Dart belong in that conversation?
It's super flex, man. This is a guy that they love, and I think Daboll's smart enough that his system can get Dart to – if Dart picks this offense up fast enough, it would not be the shockingest thing in the world if he just beat Russ out. Would it?
No. I'd be – I'd be, I'd be, I'd be slightly shocked.
Slightly, I agree.
All right. I mean, I think that all right. I'll change that for now. I'll change it for now. So delete row 19. Okay. So what are you gonna do then?
Well, you're on the clock. I took Caleb.
Oh,
it's your break.
Oh, well, I want RJ Harvey.
Okay.
I think that are we like, where's he going off right now? So he's going off
112.
He's going off of the 201 right now.
201. That's what I think he should be, but I wish I could get that value, but we've just gotten so nuked with a couple of these landing spots.
All right. Well, what do you have next?
All right. I'm going to take Dart. We're not doing premium, right? Or are we doing premium?
It is premium.
Okay. Well, then I'm taking Loveland. Colston Loveland, Chicago Bears here at the 110. I think, you know, I love me some Luther Burden, but in the Chicago offense, he was, you know, obviously used with that 10th overall draft capital, first heading off the board. I think about Cole Kmet walking after this year, or them moving off of him. And Loveland being that move tight end that I think we see play 30%, 25% in the slot and maybe get like a, you know, the galaxy brain of the Kelce role. And he'll never garner those amounts of targets, but hopefully he gets some high-value targets in the red zone, and he's an important piece that they can just continue to move around, and he can be Caleb Williams' most dependable target. But so much talent here that he – you know, even if he is his favorite target, like it, other things will be open. I just love the offense overall. If I'm going to miss, I guess I'm going to miss on one of the most talented offenses in football with Ben Johnson.
So they can get out of Cole Kmet after the 2025. They can't do it from that, like
after this year.
They can do it after that because he's only so next year he'll be owed $11.6 million. They can get out with only $3.2 million dead cap.
They just gave him the extension before last year.
Huh.
It's like 3 year 50 or something.
If we're going by the four years 50. What I reasonably reasoned out was that this is where Matthew Golden goes, and you said you want a choice between, I think it's fair. A choice between Harvey, Golden, Dart, and Loveland. Before we talk about that, can we just talk about so Caleb Johnson and Quinshon Judkins, I don't feel like that doesn't break ADP to put Caleb Johnson ahead of Judkins in the same way, because his average ranking is 10.4 versus Caleb, which is 11.8. They're kind of valued almost exactly the same. Everybody's been having to make that decision.
So you're saying we should put Quinshon back ahead of him?
I never moved Caleb ahead of Quinshon.
Okay.
So
you're saying how we have it is fine.
If we wanted to move Caleb above Quinshon, we could. That's just something I'll need to write down to consider. Do you have a case to be made for that?
I thought I made it, given that I just believe in Mike Tomlin, and I know Mike Tomlin's going to give the ball to the guy that's the best running back, and that offensive line's better. And I'm worried about the Cleveland offensive line aging. It's getting hairy. They have no. There's nothing that is. That's preventing the defense from putting 8 men in the box more often than not against Cleveland. Like, you're not afraid of any of those quarterbacks right now. And the weaponry is like Njoku and Judy. And like, I love Cedric Tillman. I love him, but Cedric Tillman's not going to get respect. Like, oh, we got to make sure we got four deep. Like, no, like you're looking at that offensive line. You go, okay, well, we've known them for running the football, and now they drafted Quinshon and Caleb Johnson. Two 1,000-yard rushers this last year, led the SEC, the back-to-back leading SEC rush. No, like, this is the the identity has been run. It's going to continue to be run. And as much as they'll feed him, I think that Pittsburgh is just a better football team, and Caleb's going to get the lion's share because Tomlin's smart and going to do that. I don't know. That's just kind of like my – maybe that's kind of a lazy, lame explanation, but it's pretty straightforward.
All right. Well, those
even
two
– substantially better athlete, and I would generally prefer that, but –
That ADP just needs to be monitored consistently, right? It just
needs- like if you put Dylan Sampson in Pittsburgh, I'd be like Quinshon 100%. Or if it was roles reversed and it was Caleb in Cleveland with Dylan Sampson and Quinshon in Pittsburgh, you'd be like Pitts. I mean, I might even be more bullish if it was Quinshon in Pittsburgh, you know.
But there's the awesome scheme fit with Caleb too. You can just picture it, like. You could, like his jersey even looks the same on film.
Set colors.
All right.
All right. So you want Matthew Golden 111. I'm going to go with Dart at 112. So even that, you said ADP is 7 for Dart. We're getting him here at 12.
Okay.
So I like that. That's the second quarterback in round one for those listening on the pod that can't view it on YouTube. It was Jenty, Hunter, Ward. Top three, and then Travion Henderson, 104, followed by Omarion Hampton, Ted Arrell McMillan, Quinshon Judkins, and Caleb Johnson, number 8. Number 9 was R.J. Harvey. 10 was Colston Loveland, the first and only tight end in round one. Matthew Golden, 111, and Jackson Dart, the second QB, goes off at 112.
I think the only responsible thing here is to take Tyler Warren.
Is his ADP – his ADP's got to be like right – like what, 8?
I don't have the availability to look at the tight end premium ADP. In non-tight end premium, it's 10. So this is still late on him.
Gotcha.
But I want the RJ Harveys and the Quinshons and the Caleb Johnsons and stuff, man. I just do.
Yeah.
And I worry it's just, you know, Tyler Warren going to Indy. I just worry it's like, what if that whole passing game just goes up in smoke?
Which it very well could.
It isn't like you have to really squint to picture it.
I'm a little worried about it. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little worried about it.
But I just... First round draft capital, true blue chip prospect. If the quarterback situation just goes to complete fodder, we know that they're going to have to do something eventually to address it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going. I think it's only responsible that like we can't just have these tight ends, these two tight ends that go in the top two tight ends in the top 14 picks. We can't have him slipping too far into round two and super flex tight end premium.
All right. 202, I'm going to go with Mecca Igbuka, Tampa Bay, wide receiver, first-round draft capital. Godwin just turned 29, got banged up this last year, even though he was prolific at the beginning. Evans is 31. He'll be 32 before the season kicks. They got Jalen McMillan, but it wasn't second-round draft capital. So – it might be a little bit of a waiting game here, but I do think Emeka Egbuka is going to be your starting slot receiver in Tampa this year. And by waiting game, I say waiting game for elite production.
So we're now at pick, what, 15?
Yep.
So Cam Scadaboo is going off now as pick 19. Jalen Milroe is going ahead of Tyler Shuck, which I guess I understand for Dynasty. I think that Tyler Shuck, if you're playing in a format like Fast Draft – where it's just you're drafting the rookies in the Origins draft for just next year. I prefer Shuck. I'm just not sure that Tyler Shuck in New Orleans is going to keep that job long term. But I think he plays more games next season than Milroe does, right? Whereas Milroe could pop up and win a job and go nuclear, and you have a if he develops right. If
Davis Mills plus,
if things go right for him. You could have Jalen Milroe go nuts, right? Whereas Tyler Shuck's never going to go nuts, but he's probably going to start you a lot more games next season. And so, both those guys are kind of in the – I think I don't have it this way on the sheet, but I feel like I definitely need to change where Milroe is on this sheet currently for sure. So I'll make a note of that about Milroe. Luther Burden could be considered here. Does Shuck need to be considered here if I'm considering between Scataboo and Luther Burden? I don't think that Shuck needs to be in consideration here.
Well, yeah. Shuck, I think Shuck is only in consideration if you're on a roster that is like – if you're like a – so you're picking the 203 right now, right? And that would generally mean in a draft like this that you are not a good team unless you've acquired this pick via trade and dynasty.
Right, right, right.
My thought process for a Shuck would be exactly kind of what you just explained in that, yeah, you got the great draft capital, but it would be for me in dynasty if my team was, you know, lost in the semifinals and my team's loaded to the gills, but I only have like two quarterbacks and they're volatile. Like I'm, you know, I think of, you know, yesteryear when I had a team with like Burrow and Kirk Cousins and that was it, dynasty. I'm like, well, I need like a third quarterback. I need a guy that I know is going to be on the football field this year and I'm going to be able to plug him in on bye weeks and I know I'm going to get some output from him. And I think that that would be a spot that I would be able to spend a second round draft pick on him. But generally, if I'm just a bad football team, I'm going to definitely use that pick for a, you know, a dynasty ass, something that I think can gain value. And has better, I shouldn't say, because Shuck can gain value for sure. Second round quarterback, I get it. But gain value for me on my roster and like Luther Burden, like I've talked about, I think has maybe not as high of upside as Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, but like next, right? Yeah. Dylan Sampson, we've seen him rush for 1,400 yards in college. Like I know he's with Quinchon right now, but we've seen wilder stuff. I think, you know, even you love Scataboo. Scataboo could beat out Tyrone Tracy in training camp. And he could be a menace from day one. Like these different things I think can help your roster quicker and potentially more likely longer.
All right. Well, so I'll take Burden in Chicago. It's like that's what the cheat sheet says to do. I think that's probably right. I'll be interested to see what you do because the sheet also gives you an option for Scataboo there. And this feels early for you for Scataboo at 16. But I mean, he's currently going off at 19 with the post rank rankings updates.
Yeah, it's a little too early for me.
But what else are you going to do? What are you interested in here? It's kind of
where are we at? We're at 204.
Yeah.
So 108 was a tier break, and now we got post 203, and it's another tough spot.
I'm not sure that 108 is a tier break to RJ Harvey, man.
Okay.
I think after Harvey, it's a tier break.
So you 108, 109.
Yep.
Okay. I think this is a break right here. A lot of guys we like.
It certainly is. Yep.
It's hairy. And so you might get somebody that has like a take here. You might get a Jaden Higgins. You might get a Sampson. I'm sure there'll be a Trey Harris hive. There always has been through the pre-draft process.
Yeah.
You love Scat, but – I mean, we've talked about this role, and as much as I think there's a little question mark around the player, I'm going to lean into the role, and I'm going to go with the fifth-round running back. I'm going to go with Jaden Blue here at the 204. I don't feel great about it, but I think when you look at this backfield and the lack of juice that it has, Blue's going to be a guy that's going to get plenty of opportunities. And, you know, we've seen him catch passes out of the backfield at Texas and be explosive as all hell. So
people are acting like Jaden Blue going to the Cowboys just doesn't matter because Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders are there. They're like, this is the Deuce Vaughn replacement. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Sanders ain't going to make the roster.
I was like, did you guys watch any of those three players last year? Jaden Blue, Miles Sanders, or Javonte Williams? Javonte Williams was utterly unplayable in fantasy football. Yeah. He was droppable. Like he was just miserable. I mean, Cody, you and I were having to take these props and prize picks and underdog where we hit – what did we hit on? 61% of those? And it's like we made a lot of money doing it, but do you remember what it was?
31
like,
rushing yards?
Javon, no, dude. Some games it was like 19.5. Don't you remember? Javonte sucks, but he's not this bad. You know what I mean?
And he still wouldn't hit it.
No, I think he would.
I bet on him twice in the 30s. He never hit it.
And Jaden, it's not, dude, it's not like Jaden Blue is small either. He's what did he weigh in at?
204?
Okay. So he weighed in a little bit lighter in the combine. Then he played out of Texas because he wanted to run a little bit faster. But that guy plays at 204, 205. All right. Well, I mean,
what Jahmyr Gibbs is 199. It's the same thing.
He can go there. He's going to be the RB1 for the Cowboys.
You know who the college coach was for Jahmyr Gibbs, right?
The college coach for Jahmyr Gibbs was Tashard Choice.
Who was the running back coach for Jaden Blue?
Tashard Choice at Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Who was the running back coach at Texas last year?
That was Tashard Choice for a couple years for Jaden Blue.
Interesting.
That's a good point.
4.34, 4.36, 44 receptions the final year for Jahmyr Gibbs.
Tashard Choice didn't
43 take 43 receptions the final year for Jaden Blue.
Tashard Choice didn't take that Cowboys job. He took the Lions job, but either where he would have ended up, he would have been playing with somebody that he coached before. All right. So I'm going Cam Scadaboo here. I'm taking him. It's only just two spots ahead of what his ADP looks like it's shaping up as. Love the fit in New York for the Giants. Not that I don't love Tyrone Tracy. I think it's fine, but Scat's built different, man. And I'm done begging against him. I just am. It's a weird spot here, isn't it?
Can I tell you who I really want to take?
Who? Jaden Higgins?
Yeah.
Over Trey Harris?
Yeah.
So Trey Harris right now, his ADP is right at 16. Where's Higgins? 17. Average ranking of 16.1 versus 16.9. Yeah, I don't mind putting Higgins ahead of Trey Harris if you want to do that.
It's tough, though. I think Harris could really succeed on top of Lad. But they've got Mike. They like Quentin. I just think that's so disgusting. And I think of Jaden Higgins, and I just see this room is wide open. And it's like, we got Nico over here. We know that. And he's a certifiable alpha. And this door is open on this other side for Higgins. And on the inside, we know it's Christian Kirk and Jalen Knoll. I just like know Higgins is going to be out there, and I know Higgins is going to eat, and he's going to get the number two coverage. And he just has Adam Thielen ate inside of Stephon Diggs for years in Minnesota, and continues to eat as the number two. We've seen these number twos succeed. Even I know this the body types are different, but like a number two. It's a different build in receivers, so don't take this literal. But like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, like the number two can eat in offense. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, the number two can eat in offense. Jefferson Addison, the number two can eat in offense. So they've rebuilt the offensive line. I think they're trying to continue to enhance Stroud and bring him back to life after last year's down year. My heart wants me to go Higgins, but my gut tells me to go running back.
What are you going to do?
My gut tells me to go the tootin' route.
Over Dylan Sampson. I don't mind that one bit.
I know. My gut tells me, but my heart wants me to go Higgins, and my gut's telling me to go Tootin because I know Tootin's a dog, and talk to him at the Senior Bowl. He's a great guy. Just like Bucky. But like what do we hear from Liam Cohen? He's like, Bucky's awesome. Bucky shows up early. La da 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 da. And it's like they drafted two backs. They didn't just draft one running back and be like, oh, we gotta get a running back. They went out and got two running backs. And as much as I don't love LaQuint Allen, like they went out and got two running backs to replace two guys that contracts are expiring in the next 2 years. It's like the writing's on the wall, and Tootin's got the explosiveness. I don't know. This team's Team F. I took Tedderow in the first. Give me
no, two. No. Don't do it like you're having to make this pick. Like you're still on the clock.
I am. I took Tedderow in the first round with this team.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I'm like here. You know, I'm like heart and gut. Like, I think Higgins is going to get me targets today. And
you,
next
but you,
year,
but you definitely after. Want Higgins more than Trey Harris.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not like a mile apart.
Oh, no.
I still think Trey Harris can succeed in that offense, but the offense is like, you know, it's.
They're ranked back to back. It's fine.
As they should be. I'm going to take Higgins.
Okay.
Well, Jaden Higgins, 206.
And I'm taking Bashiel Tutin to the Jacksonville Jaguars. If those are, I mean, right? It's like, you think that's a tough choice? It's like that. I'll go ahead and I'll swoop in and take Tutin. I think you make a good point here. And I had Dylan Sampson kind of ahead of him by one spot, but it looks like those ADPs are flipped. So I don't care. I'll flip them. That's no skin off my back at all to flip those two guys.
What do you make of some up here at the 208? Yeah. What do you make of the comments about Elijah Arroyo as an X receiver?
That he could play X, and they asked him like, well, what about they asked John Schneider like, well, what about the time that he missed? Or no, that wasn't Schneider. That was, McDonald. They asked him, what about the time that he missed? And he's like, well, yeah, he missed some time, but if he wouldn't have missed some time, he would have been a top 15 pick. So,
I think I'm going to go Arroyo here.
Tight end, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. 208 Seattle Seahawks. He's just, you know, everything we saw down there at the Senior Bowl, and he was the fifth tight end, sorry, off the board in the NFL draft after Ferguson and Taylor. But he also at the Senior Bowl he weighed in like 250, and that was like, I can't remember how much heavier that was than the expectation. I think he was listed like 236 or 237. And the idea that potentially he is playing some type of outside role with, you know, Cup and JSN, and you know Horton can play as the flanker, like whatever they do, right? I think it's a good room, but that he can probably overtake Noah Fant rather quickly. It's premium. They sound like they love him. I love him. We've loved him. So I'm gonna go tight end premium, Elijah Arroyo, 208.
Okay, well, I just had to make a choice here because the cheat sheet was giving me Tyler Shuck as a possibility here. I'm not going to do it, so I don't want to tell anybody else to do it. I think it – and I don't know if I would even do it with this next one either. Maybe with this next one I would because I'm going to go – what is Dylan Sampson's current ADP? Are we past where he's going? So right now he's going at 27 overall, so this is still considered early for Dylan Sampson. I don't care. I'm taking him. I like both these Cleveland runners, dude.
Wait, this is early for Sampson?
Yeah, a little bit. That's
late.
The current ADP on him right now is like the guys that would have gone after him on the guys that he would have gone after on this one, even in non-tight end premium, was Mason Taylor, Kyle Williams, Jalen Noel, Jack Besh, Tyler Shuck, and Superflex, and Jalen Milrow. Oh, and Trey Harris. But I'm taking Sampson.
All right.
I think it's the Judkins Sampson offense, dude. I really, really do. In Cleveland.
They've kind of told us that with these draft picks. Like you said, they can't lie to you during the draft.
Yep.
So they're not. I'm gonna go Trey Harris here. I'll take the receiver from the Chargers at the 210. Team J. He joins Colston Loveland, the should have been Charger.
All right. Well, I mean, look, dude. It's like now the conventional wisdom says that anybody would be taking Jalen Noel, Jack Besh, any of these guys. I think this is about where you can start considering Tyler Shuck. But I have Breshard Smith in consideration up here, and I'm flummoxed with the fact that it looks like the fantasy football world is not on board with this, even after the draft. They have him as a guy to take in the end of the fourth round. So we probably need to fix that.
I was going to say, my innate thought here with how the cheat sheet is built is that there would be like three or four open slots between Sampson and the rest of these guys. So that it's like a receiver right there for Noel Mesh Coils.
A little receiver run, and then you start picking off these running backs that we like through the third round.
Yeah, I think we need to have a break there where it's Noel Besh and Royals, and then you have those guys side by side with those quarterbacks, and like that's just your little spot.
Yeah,
and then you get back to running back.
Your little reprieve that you're allowed to take wide receiver in this awesome running back group, right? So the tier break to Breshard, where he currently sits, he needs to open up to take the Jalen Royals or the Jalen Knowles or this type of guy, right?
And I probably have like Breshard, like what, by Kyle Williams?
Do you like Jack Besh more than Jalen Knowles when Knowles has to deal with Higgins and Nico?
Yep. That's who I was going to take my next pick.
I do too. I'm taking Jack Besh.
Fuck. Shit. Crap.
Thanks for correcting yourself there with other cuss words. All right. Final pick, Cody. Get us out with this one.
Take us home. Country road. I really wanted Besh there.
In real life, you could probably trade out.
Probably could. I probably could, but who would I be as a fantasy football gamer not to lean all the way in on a guy that I love since day one of this pre-draft process, 6 foot tall, 205 pounds. He's a Kansas City Chief now in the fourth round, 4.42 running, 1.49 10-yard split. He is the archetype. He is Jalen Royals.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.